for a bit longer, I would invite you to do so. If you need to be seated, that's okay. Go ahead and sit down. But I would also invite you either way to take a Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning we want to read verses 11 through 13. That's on page 995 still. If you'd like to use a Bible from the church, you're invited to grab one of those and turn to 995. Otherwise, our passage is 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. This is God's word for us this morning. And here's what God says. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You may be seated. Father, thank you for your word. There's no word like your word. Every word of yours is completely true. It is without any error or mistake. It has no flaws, just like you. And your word is living. It's active. It's able to even today enter into our hearts and souls and to change us. And that's really what we would pray, Father, that we would receive your word by your Spirit, and it would stir in our hearts and transform us. That first of all, these things would be eminently precious to us. And secondly, that the very things that are described and spoken of here would be true in our own lives. And so, Father, our prayer is, may your word do its work in our life to that end. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the whole book of 2 Timothy is a call to faithful endurance. If you and I name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are called to endure and to persevere in naming and in following the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of our lives. The whole book is really about that theme, and yet our current segment is very expressly focused upon the matter of endurance. Verse 10 that we've looked at over the last week or so, he invokes our word endurance there. He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. It's the very intersection of the passion of Paul's life to share Christ, intersecting with the very affliction that such a passion has brought on his life. But no amount of affliction dimmed his passion to share the Lord Jesus Christ with those. He endured, he persevered. Now, today's passage, taking off the heels then of verse 10 that we looked at last week, today's passage consists of what we call a trustworthy saying. You say, well, how did you come up with the ideal of calling it a trustworthy saying? Well, do you see the preface there at verse 11? For the saying is trustworthy. I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking about how to label this thing. But there are five of those trustworthy sayings in the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. Now, what I don't want you to you say, well, now this is a trustworthy saying. What were the previous verses? Well, all of the Bible is trustworthy. All of the Bible is completely true. All of the Bible is from the very mouth of God, and it has the very truthfulness and authority that resides in God Himself. What he's not saying is, now up to this point, what I've said is not very trustworthy, but boy, this one's going to really be trustworthy. It's almost like, you know, we've been in conversations that we've said things like, can I be honest with you for a moment? I don't know, what were you just the moment before? You know, were you lying to me again? You know, so we don't mean that. It's a rhetorical device. Well, here in this case, this trustworthy saying, and all of these trustworthy sayings are most likely citations from other sources that were commonly stated, like almost like a cliche in some sense that we might think of, but they were probably like commonly embraced confessional statements that the church began to like in unison recite and say out loud. It was just common practice. You would show up for church and people would start saying these things. Or maybe even, which is what I think it is here, the lyrics of a poem or a lyrical poetry or a song. In fact, you'll notice there, at least in the ESV translation, those lines are all indented, which again suggests that this is a song that was probably the lines of a song that was probably commonly sung in the churches in the early church. And what Paul is saying is, you remember how that song goes? And he's taking that song and he's helping it to make the case to illustrate the need for endurance. And there's four lines to this song, or at least this segment of the song or poetry, that lyrical poetry that we have. And these four lines, I believe, are arranged in two pairs. The first two lines, which is the very end of verse 11 and the very first half of verse 12, is the first set or pair of lines. And these are two lines of what I would call assurances. These are lines that provide encouraging promises that pertain to eternal life. Now, those are the only two lines that we're going to look at this morning. As the week went on and the longer I marinated on this passage, the more I realized, that's about as far as we're going to get this morning. Before long, the meal from the fellowship hall will be waffling in here, and you'll be ready to go. So, but I would just add the second part of verse 12, and then into verse 13 is the other set or pair of this song, and those two are lines of, if you would, not of assurance, but lines of admonition. Not words of encouraging promises, but lines of ominous warnings. Not words of that remind us of the promise of eternal life, but words that warn us of eternal loss. What I would say about the whole set then of two pairs, four lines, is that both the lines of assurance and promise, as well as the lines of admonition and warning, are the means, the gracious means of God to promote endurance in God's people. Now let's look at the first pair, the first two lines. The first pair of lines, 11b and 11b and 12a, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. These first pair of lines consist of promises of life. They are meant to provide assurance The first line, I would suggest to you, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. This first line concerns a believer's conversion. That is, how a person starts becoming a believer or follower in the Lord Jesus Christ. While the second line in this promise of assurance concerns a believer's perseverance, how to stay with and continue on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I clarify that. So the first line is how we get started, and the second line is how we continue. Because what I would remind us of concerning what the Bible teaches is that when the Bible issues a call to turn to Christ, that call to turn to Christ is never just a one-time momentary episode. That call to turn to Christ is a sustained call for a protracted trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believers are to continually receive the gospel and the word of God, because believers are to cultivate a trust in Jesus that perseveres and endures. Being in right relationship with a holy God requires relying upon Jesus. In John chapter 10, I may have alluded to this passage last week. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, earlier in that chapter, he said to them, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I point that out because maybe for some of us this morning, you've never begun. You've never begun trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard a lot of things about Jesus. Maybe you've been in church for quite a while. Maybe you haven't been in church, hardly any at all. None of that really makes much difference right now at the moment. What makes a difference is right now understanding who Jesus is. He likens himself to the good shepherd, the one who would die for our sins as a substitutionary sacrifice. That the shepherd, if you would, becomes a slaughtered lamb. That the shepherd becomes a slaughtered lamb to do a work for us and for our salvation. That as the slaughtered lamb, he hung on the cross and made payment for our sin. The very sin that otherwise would condemn us before a holy God and never permit us to have access in the presence of a holy God. That Jesus has come and remedied that problem by living a perfect life and dying as a perfect sacrifice, and God has raised him from the dead, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be adopted into God's family as one of his well-loved children. You'll actually be indwelt with the very DNA of God, the Spirit of God, and you'll be guaranteed an eternal destiny in the presence of God. So turn to Christ. Trust only in him. That's how it gets started. But the nature of relying on Christ and following him must also have an enduring quality, such as Jesus described, for instance, in Matthew 24, verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, there'll be much more that we'll touch on next week concerning that. But I just, for now, introduce us to the notion that the first line orients us to some things about how we get started with Christ. We see him as the one who has laid down his life for us. and we turn and trust in him. And then the second line, when we get to in a moment, is a word to us with a promise attached to that that helps us. It's part of God's means by which we not only get started with Christ, but that we stay, we continue on with Christ. So line one, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. I find that a very intriguing way of framing how does one get started with Jesus. On the one hand, I just said you get started with Jesus by turning to Jesus, by trusting only in him, by relying upon what he did on the cross and acknowledging who he is. That's how we get started. And yet in this song of endurance here, that turning to Jesus and trusting only in him is likened unto a death. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. I think it's utterly amazing and yet crucially important that coming to faith in Jesus is not just merely saying, oh yeah, I believe that. Makes no difference in my life, but yeah, I believe that. And probably when I, you know, after I live my life and do my thing, then I'll go to heaven and be with Jesus. It's really not what the Bible describes in terms of coming to faith in Jesus. Coming to faith in Jesus is likened unto dying to yourself. Because first of all, coming to Jesus consists of, first of all, a change in your very identity. How we see ourselves has now done a fundamental shift. Coming to Jesus means saying goodbye to me. Paul would write, and I think in Romans 6, we think Romans 6 particularly helps us to understand what's he talking about here in 2 Timothy 2:11. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Well, this is what Paul says in Romans 6:8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Paul is saying that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our very identity has changed. We are now to see ourselves differently. What we formerly were, what we were formerly about, what was formerly precious, what was formerly important to us, will undergo a radical rearrangement. Paul would say this similar thing, and in other words, this is a big theme in Paul. Paul would say a similar thing in Colossians 3:3, and all of these are just kind of synonyms for what it means to turn and trust Christ, to come to him. He says in Colossians 3:3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Or Paul would say in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's a sense in which coming to Christ and receiving the life that Christ gives to us is translated into the termination of our former lives. Are you okay with that? Like if you love your life right now and you don't want anything to change, then you're not ready to come to Jesus. Because this change in identity is also a change in intention. Coming to Jesus means that we now see ourselves differently and we now head out in a different direction. Our intention is to daily die to ourselves and our old identity and now to live in the freshness of our new identity, our new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's how Jesus would put it in a couple of places. 1 John 12, truly, truly, I say to you, if a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains, if it fails to fall into the earth, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears fruit. Then he goes on to add, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You like everything you got just the way it is right now? Well, okay, keep it. You will forfeit eternal life, but keep it. Are you not all that impressed with what this world has to offer? Are you looking for something more eternal? Then let go of what you have and embrace true life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or here's how Jesus would say it in Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. You want to hold on to life the way it is? It's not a very promising proposition. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So do you see how this statement here, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. That eternal life is contingent upon coming to the end of ourselves, because our life terminates as we trust in and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ, we trust him, and coming to Christ entails a new identity and embracing a new intention. All who come to Christ die. And all who die in Christ live forever. So turn to Christ. Come and die. Come and die in Jesus. And therefore live in Jesus. The second line of this first pair. So the first assurance, the first promise is if you come to Jesus and terminate your life in him, then you will have life eternal. The second promise then is not an issue of how do we get started. The second promise in the second line is how do we stay with, how do we continue? And he says there in that second line, if we endure, we will also reign with him. The first line was our conversion, we initially coming to Christ. The second line is our perseverance, ongoingly coming to Christ, staying with Christ. All who have at some point in the past turned and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to do that again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And again, you say, how long do I got to do it? You got to do it until you see Jesus face to face. Each and every day throughout the day is an occasion to die to ourselves and to trust in Christ, to live out of the new identity that we have in Christ, and to live with the new set of intentions as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the warnings in next week's passage will warn us of the consequence of saying, I got started, but I'm not interested in continuing. And there seems to be a whole swath of people, particularly in the North American version of Christianity, that have seen coming to Jesus as a one-time drive-by experience. It's just kind of an initial rite of passage. I just got to like walk an hour, or pray a prayer, or join a church, and then I don't have to die to myself no more. I can live for me, and I can make much of me, and I can let my life continue to be about myself, and I'm grateful for maybe the opportunity that Jesus has provided me to maybe like improve my life a little bit, or to enhance my life. Jesus did not come to improve your life nor to enhance your life. Jesus came to put an end to your life. He came to eliminate you so that the life you now live in the flesh, to quote Galatians 2:20, will be lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. The terms of coming to Christ is a terms of dying to self and living for the cause of Christ. Therein is how life gets started. And all I'm saying now is that, and once you get started doing that, how long do you got to keep doing that? All the time, every day, throughout the day. To remind us of what Jesus said that I mentioned a while ago, he who endures to the end shall be saved. You and I, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word for us is a word of perseverance. The word for us is a word of endurance. We are now to maintain that. We are to now stay with Christ in the face of opposition, in the face of opportunity. I say opposition, I'm thinking of the four soils in the Gospels. So Jesus talks about the seed was sown among four different soils. Well, the first soil was kaput to begin with, but one of the other soils, it starts out apparently believing in Jesus, but there's all kinds of opportunity for the experiences, the riches of life and the pleasantries of life. And at some point, you come to the realization, you know what? I like the pleasantries of life more than I like the pleasantries of Jesus. And so, see you, Jesus. Hello, pleasantries of life. That's an example of not staying with Jesus. You've had opportunity for an offer that sounds much better. It ain't much better. It ain't no good at all. But that's how our own hearts can deceive us, and we can trail off and walk away from Jesus. And yet, in so doing, if we endure, we will also reign with him. The implication, which we'll see next week, and if we fail to endure, we will not reign with him. We will not live with him. Getting started does not equate with finishing. That's why it's so precious. What does Paul model for us at the very end of this book? He makes it clear to us, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He doesn't talk about how you and I need to endure. He's doing it. By the grace of God, he is enduring. No amount of opportunity, no amount of obstacles, which is really what he's facing. He's facing all sorts of dust-ups and trials of people who are persecuting him and afflicting him. And yet, even one of the soils in the Gospels, it talks about, and some soil, and some seed fell, and because of the worries of life, it chokes out the seed and it fails to grow and to bear fruit. And so sometimes we can let the difficulties of life get the best of us, so that we say, you know what? If that's what it's like to follow Jesus, no, thank you. That way is too hard. It just stands to reason, though. If we understood how we began. We began by dying. And every day is a reenlistment in some way, shape, form, or another of dying. Paul would say, every day I bear about the death of Jesus in my body. Every day we might face the hardships and the sufferings. That's not what we signed up for. And if that's what it means, then I'm out of here. Then what you signed up for was not Jesus. What you signed up for was not having died with him. We will now live with him. And certainly what you signed up for was not, if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. That is incredible language. Do you see what he's doing in this promise? Hold on, brother. Persevere. Endure. Stay put, remain with. Because what I'm holding out to you is this incredible experience for those who hold on, for those who hang on, for those who persevere, for those who stay put, for those who endure. Then what is held out is nothing other than the very promise of reigning with God. In fact, I'm moved by how in the letter in the book of Revelation, the letter to the seven churches, and each of these seven churches, he admonishes them to, and in the language here, conquer or overcome, which I would suggest to you is essentially the same language as endure. It's the same kind of notion, maybe has a fuller sense to it. But in each of the seven churches, before he's done admonishing or encouraging them, he offers them this promise if they endure. Listen to Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's a promise. It's a promise for those who endure. Or in verse 11 of Revelation 2, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Or in verse 17, to the next church, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Say, well, what's the name on the stone? You got to wait till you get there. Later in at the end of chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, to the next church, he says, only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or going on into chapter 3 and verse 5 to the next church, he closes with this. He says, to the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or in verse 12, to the next church, he says, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of the heaven with a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or in verse 21, behold, if anyone hears my voice, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. And I also conquered and sat down at my Father's throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you see what John is doing in these letters to these churches? It's functionally the same thing that Paul is doing in regard to Timothy. Timothy, keep going. Timothy, endure. Timothy, persevere. Timothy, hang on. Timothy, keep going. Because do you hear what God has promised to those who persevere? The very blessing of eternal life itself. God preserves his people. And what I mean by that is God will get all of his people safely home. But understanding the scripture properly means that we grasp that the means through which God safely preserves us and gets us home is through the agency of giving us the grace to persevere in faith. He preserves us not apart from trusting in him, but through trusting in him, with a trust in him that endures and perseveres. And time, and the difficulties during that time prove to be an accurate barometer of really measuring the posture of our hearts. Not just a posture that would outwardly say, I believe in Jesus, but then when opportunity comes or an opposition comes, where is the person? We don't know. But in true faith, God preserves his people with a faith that continues and endures and perseveres so that we know that we will live with him because we have died in him. We know that we will endure. We know that we will reign with him because he gives us the grace to endure. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to share a few things about the gospel in a funeral service. That's really my one and only burden when I do a funeral. I certainly want to see the family comforted. Certainly, we want to remember the life that the Lord gave to the person. But my real burden is to make sure that those of us who are still alive, sitting here, that we have heard who Jesus is and what he has done. And so I had the wonderful privilege to explain that Jesus came to rescue us from our sins. And the specific passage I used was Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That coming to Christ is an experience that is solely by the grace of God, that we can do nothing to earn. We have done nothing to deserve such a gift of eternal life. But when we turn and trust in Jesus, we are given eternal life. And after the service, there was an older guy. I say older. He was older than me. So he was an old guy. But there was an older guy, in my humble estimation, he illustrated how this sermon needs to close. He illustrated what it means to not merely get started with Jesus, but how to persevere with Jesus. He's an old guy, 80s, 90s, I don't know, whatever you think old looks, that's what he was. So he's an old guy. And he came up to me, and tears were coming down his cheeks. And he says, I still can't get over the fact that Jesus would give me eternal life. I don't deserve that. I haven't earned that, but Jesus has given it to me. That's a way to go. That's a way that you don't merely get started as a young man, but now as an older man, Jesus is still front and center in your life. He still captivates you. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign. Those are sweet promises. But even perhaps more importantly, they are sure promises. Turn to Christ. Trust only in him. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for how your word points us to Jesus. Thank you for how your word explains who Jesus is, what he has done. Thank you for how your word even informs us on what it means to come to Jesus. And so, Father, now you do your work in our midst. For those who have never come to Jesus, oh, Father, by the very power of your Spirit, the very energy of your grace, save them. May they see their need for Jesus and trust only in him. And yet, Father, for the rest of us perhaps who have trusted Jesus but maybe have have been mercurial, up and down. We believe and yet we struggle. We've had opposition. We've had opportunity. Oh, Father, by the very powerful agency of your Spirit, by the very incitement of your grace, oh, may you get us home safely through trusting still in your Son. For we ask this in Jesus' name.